Thank you very much for that good humble prayer, and ask a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. What I'd like to speak to you about this morning is something that's very familiar with all of you, and it's something that's even contained in our articles of faith, and it's on the subject of the preservation of God. Now, I've preached on this subject many times before, but this morning I want to take a particular look at two different ways that that is expressed from articles of faith. Both are true, but they're not the same. And the word preservation means one thing, but some articles of faith use the word persevere, which is not the same, but it, in a sense, indicates the same. And I'm going to try to explain to you what I mean by that. First of all, I want us to take a look, before I get into the subject, your article of faith, and it's on your listed in your articles out there, and it's article number 6, and it says this: we believe all those who were chosen in Christ will be effectually called, regenerated, changed, and sanctified by the Spirit, so that they will be preserved in grace forever, and not one of them be finally lost. Now, yours is pretty long the way it states all of that, but you hear it stated lots of times. People will say, I believe once saved, always saved. That's one simple way of saying that. Once saved, always saved. Now, the church that I serve up at Bethlehem, they happen to have the same articles of faith as the Blue Ridge Association, which used to be the Sequatchie Valley Blue Ridge Association, and it uses the word persevere. But persevere and preserve do not mean the same thing. Let's read that one that that they hold up there, and it says In their article of faith number 8, we believe that the saints shall persevere in grace and never fall away. Now, what is the difference between preserved and persevere? Well, first of all, I'm going to just read you from Webster's Dictionary the different definition of those two words. It says in Webster's Dictionary, to preserve means to protect from harm or damage, to keep from spoiling. But persevere means to continue doing something in spite of difficulty or opposition. In other words, you doing something, you're opposed, you're somebody objects, but in spite of that, you just keep right on doing it. You keep right on going. Now, to me, the word persevere indicates in these articles of faith, and I believe they're both true, but first of all, I'll say this. Preservation is a work of God. It has nothing to do with me or you or anything else. That's the work of God Himself. God preserves us. And we're going to see that this morning, because that's the subject that I'm going to take. But to persevere means that a child of God, once he's received eternal life, there's nothing that he can do nor anyone else can do to take that away from him. Once saved, always saved. That's why Jesus could say in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he could say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Why? Because they are preserved by God. You understand what the word preserve means. All of you who have gardens, you know, you harvest your garden in the summer and you harvest more than you can use or eat at the time, so you can some of it. And when you can it, it puts it under pressure. And when that does, it preserves it in the month of July and August till you want to use it sometime later in February or March. You break the seal on that jar, and those vegetables are just as they were when you put them in there in July or August. That's preserving. God preserves us. God takes us. We're in the grace of God, and nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. But to persevere means there's nothing that person that receives that can do to lose that eternal life. Well, that just makes common sense, doesn't it? If Jesus says, "I give unto you eternal life," as I just read to you from John chapter 10, well, if it's eternal life and you can have it today and lose it tomorrow, then first of all, it has the wrong name. It shouldn't be eternal life, should it? No, if it's eternal, it's eternal. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that by a person that perseveres in grace is not that a child of God will not suffer as a result of him not doing as he should or not being obedient unto God's word, because he certainly can. But not eternally, but in time, a child of God can suffer as a result of his disobedience to God or not following God in the proper way that he's learned from the scriptures and from the gospel that he should obey the Lord. And he will suffer, but it's in time and not in eternity. And so, but this morning we want to take a look at some scriptures that speak specifically of the preservation of God. As I said, preservation is a work of God, a work of a sovereign, supreme God of heaven and earth that is preserving us. And we're going to see from these scriptures that we'll look at this morning that God not only is preserving us in the grace of God with eternal life so that someday we'll end up in heaven, but throughout our lives God preserves us. You know, God protects us and preserves us lots of times when we don't even realize it. We may be out on the highway and there may be a big truck coming some down the road, and the way we're headed, the way he's headed, we may meet right at the time when he'd come over and have a head-on crash and kill you. God may do something to slow you down. He may cause you to stop at a stop sign, and several cars may slow you down there. So God is doing things continuously to preserve and keep his children even while we live here in time. And we're going to see some scriptures this morning speaking to you on God's preservation, which indeed is taught in the Bible. We want to start in the book of Deuteronomy And we're going to see here a scripture that tells us about tells us a situation here about how the Old Testament children of God were to teach their children about the preservation of God. And it says, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll begin there at verse 20. And it says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." Now, when I look at this, this is speaking of God's delivery of the nation Israel that was in bondage in the Old Testament in Egypt. And God sent Moses into Egypt to deliver the children of God, Israel, out of bondage to the promised land that he had promised them. But what that is to you, child of God, in the New Testament age, is a picture of what happened when Jesus, when God sent his son Jesus to this earth to redeem you and deliver you out from the bondage of death and trespasses and in sin. So this is a beautiful picture of what actually would happen when Christ would come here in the New Testament. So they are telling their children here, we were in Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, and upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And you go back and read some of that, and what happened when the children of Israel left Israel, and Pharaoh and his armies went out after them, and they came to the Red Sea, and the Lord parted the Red Sea and delivered them out over on the other side. And then when the Pharaoh's army went into the dry land of the Red Sea with the walls of water on each side, he drowned Pharaoh's army in the very delivery of God's children, preserving them from the enemy. It's a beautiful example of God's preservation of the children of Israel. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might what? Preserve us alive. There they were. They were facing death. They were at the Red Sea. The sea was blocking them from moving on. Pharaoh's army coming up behind to take their lives, but the Lord preserved them alive to the other side of the Red Sea. The Lord might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Yes, the Lord indeed, as he did Israel, the Israelites on that day, he preserved them and kept them alive. Now, turning over to the book of Joshua, we'll find that Joshua and his family faced a decision, and they experience here that Joshua, the scripture that says the Lord preserves us where we went. And we'll start here in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." And I always like that scripture, because that is indeed a thing that the scripture later describes, that God seeketh such. God seeketh such that serve him not only in sincerity but also in truth. And you know, a lot of God's children here in this world in which we live, they do serve the Lord. They serve him in sincerity. They're sincere in their efforts to praise and honor God, but yet they don't do it in truth. That's why it's important that we understand, as primitive Baptists, we serve the Lord not only in sincerity but also in truth. And it's important to serve the Lord in the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because to worship him where they give the credit to the sinner for salvation that is of the Lord, that's not in truth. So we serve the Lord, as Joshua said here, we serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But then Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what the scripture is telling us here, you just go out here. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord in spirit or in spirit and in truth, if it seem evil to you to do that, just go out here and choose you any religion. It doesn't matter which one it is. They're all false. They're all in error. And just choose you out one that you'll serve, and you'll not experience the joys of the salvation that God had brought to you through the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Will it keep them from going to heaven? No, it won't, but it'll have an effect on the joys of the salvation that God has given to them while they live here in this life. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." And then in verse 17, here's where we'll get the preservation. "For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did great things in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went." God was there preserving them in every way wherein they went, and amongst all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. God preserved us wherever we went, as he did the Israelites there, as Joshua expressed, as he chose to serve the Lord, and the Lord only, in spirit and in truth. Now, turning over here a little further over into the scriptures in the book of 2 Samuel, we'll see that David, who was the king of Israel, David, who was the lineage through which Jesus the Savior would come, the Messiah. But David was the king of Israel, and he came up against his enemies. And because God was his God. God preserved David wherever he went, is what this particular scripture says. We'll begin there at verse 3 of chapter 8 of 2 Samuel. It says, David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zoab, and he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hocked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zobab, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Now David, who was God's child, the scripture says in one place that David was the apple of God's eye. He was, as a young man, fought the Philistine giant, and as a small man killed a giant in defense of Israel. So David was a child of God, and this scripture says the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer, and he brought them to Jerusalem, and from Beta and from Berotha, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. Yes, the Lord God preserved and kept David wherever he went, and protected him from his enemies that he faced in the army of Israel. Now turning over to the book of Nehemiah, we'll see a scripture that tells us that God will preserve all of his creation. We'll find in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, it says, beginning there in verse 5, and I won't begin at the beginning. I'll start there where it says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. For even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preserveth them all." There's the preserving hand of God, the works of God. "Thou preserveth them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him out from the Ur of Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham." Yes, an example and a scripture that tells us God, the work of the Lord in preserving his people, and he preserved all of his creation. So the Lord is preserving us even as we speak this very morning. The preservation and of God in the grace of God for God's born again children. Now we want to turn over to the book of Psalm. It says God preserves those that are faithful. Why are they faithful? They're faithful because God has given them faith in their eternal life, that they may utilize that faith in believing in God. We'll turn now over here to the book of Psalm, beginning there at Psalms 31. We'll begin at verse 21. "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. What a great blessing it is that we have, that the Lord hears our voice and our supplications when we cry out unto him. That's why we pray. The Lord is there, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ever ready to make intercession for us. And he hears our supplication, and he hears our cries unto him. And then he says in verse 23, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth," there's that word, "the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Yes, the Lord indeed preserves those who are faithful and call out unto him with their supplications in prayer unto him. He preserves and keeps us in those things as we serve him and go about serving him here in this world in which we live. Now turning a little further over into the book of Psalms 37, we'll find that we are preserved forever, forever. As God is eternal and God is the great God of heaven and earth, he preserves us. He doesn't ever turn his back on you. Us. The Lord said himself, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And the Lord here in the book of Psalms says he preserves us forever. Beginning here at verse 23 of that Psalms 37, it says, "The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." They are preserved forever. You hear me? The Lord takes care of his own. He preserves them and he keeps them in the grace of God forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Yes, the Lord indeed preserves his own, and he preserves them forever, as that scripture indeed tells us about the blessings and the preservation of the Lord. Turning a little further now over in the book of Psalms, we'll read here in the book of Psalms, chapter verse 146, Psalms 146, beginning there at verse 8, it says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." It says, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." But he says there in verse 9, "The Lord preserveth even the strangers." Now, what does he mean there by strangers? The Lord preserves his own. even though they're not strangers to the Lord. The Lord knows every one of his own, but the Lord may be a stranger to them. Wherever they're at, God is preserving even those that are strangers to their knowledge of God. God is protecting all of his children wherever they're at, under any circumstances. They are his, and he preserves them and keeps them till they all arrive in heaven one day when Jesus comes back. We'll turn now over into the book of Proverbs, where we'll find a scripture here that talks of God's preserving our way. It tells us in chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, we'll read beginning at the top of that chapter, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." And then in verse 8, he says this, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth," there's that word, "and preserveth the way of his saints." Yes, the Lord indeed preserves us. It's a work of God. It's a work in which God takes care of his own children. The Lord preserveth the way of his saints. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." The Lord keeps us. He preserves our way as we travel here in this world in which we live. Now, turning over here to a scripture that's found in the book of Isaiah, we'll find here it says that the Lord will preserve us. He'll keep us and watch over us. That's why he could say, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." The work of the Lord is to preserve and keep his children and to watch over them wherever they're at and whatever circumstance that they are in. We'll find here in Isaiah chapter 49, beginning there at verse 5, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified, shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel." There it is, to restore the preserved of Israel. "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and rise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee." There it is. "I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Yes, indeed, the Lord is doing His work, preserving His children. Now, we'll go to one last scripture in closing out this sermon this morning before we summarize the things that we've looked at. We'll find in the book of 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul was writing to this young preacher Timothy, and he was, I think, getting down close to the end of his ministry when he would depart from this earth, and he enumerated some things that he faced as a preacher of the gospel. You know, we're in this day and age protected by our religious freedom to state the things. But I think the day is coming, even in this country, when the things that we hold to and the things that we believe from the scriptures might cause us even to be arrested. But we better be careful who we elect to office, or else that could come about even in here, even in the freedoms of the United States of America. But here, the Apostle Paul came up against much opposition, much affliction for preaching, for simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what? That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried in a barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea according to the scriptures, and that on the third and appointed day He arose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Paul was going about preaching the gospel, preaching the word, preaching God's holy, inspired, and infallible word unto His children. And then it says here, it says, "And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." Now here is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, "Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he had greatly withstood our words." In other words, he stood against the things that we preached. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Now here are the things that the apostle said. "In spite of all the opposition that I received in going about preaching the truth of the scriptures and the word of the Lord, in spite of all that, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me." Now listen to that. Paul says, "And the Lord will preserve me." Preserve me to where? "Preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." Yes, the Lord will keep us. We may face opposition. We may face all sorts of things against us for believing the things that we do here in this world. But as Paul said here, the Lord will preserve us and keep us unto His heavenly kingdom, until we get there in heaven and immortal glory with Him. Yes, indeed, preservation is indeed a work of the Lord. Preservation is the work that God does to keep His children in the things that we hold to. He'll preserve us. We have eternal life, and as a result of that, one day we'll go to heaven and be with God in heaven and immortal glory. And now, in closing out, I'll just read what your article of faith states, which I like using the word preserved in the article of faith rather than persevere, even though all of God's children shall indeed persevere. There's nothing they can do, nor anyone else can do to take them out of that eternal life that God has given them. But your article of faith says, we believe that all those who were chosen in Christ will be effectually called, regenerated, changed, and sanctified by the Spirit, so that they will be preserved in grace forever, and not one of them be finally lost. Once saved, always saved. Yes, if it's eternal life God has given you, then it's eternal. You can't have it today and lose it tomorrow, because if that could happen, then it wouldn't be eternal life, and it is indeed eternal life. That's why Jesus could say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. He didn't say I offer it to them. He said I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Yes, the preservation of God, the work of God. God is indeed preserving and keeping us until the day Jesus comes back and claims us, changes us from a mortal to an immortal, from a corruptible to an incorruptible, taking us up to be with him in heaven, eternally speaking, forever and ever. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.